Jason Woolard's joining us. He's a Democratic candidate, 117th District. Jason had been in the studio with me once before, but at a different time in the morning. So some of you are meeting him for the first time here on the radio. And so I think we need to kind of start at the beginning in some respects. I mean, what have you done in your life? And seeing that what you've done and how it applies to a state representative seat and what you hope to accomplish if you win the election.
Yeah, sure, Tom. I want to thank you again for having me in the studio. To answer your question, I mean, I'm a lifelong Southern Illinoisan. I've lived in the Carterville community all my life, raised there, graduated from high school there, went to John A. Logan there, raised my family there, my wife and three daughters, served on the Carterville School Board for two terms for 8 years. And my parents actually ran a lumber yard in Carterville for a number of years before my father actually went into the political arena as a state representative and a state senator. And then as I got older and started a career, I became a journeyman lineman. I went through an apprenticeship program.
Where'd you do that at?
I did that with Ameren, the Ameren Utility Company. And then after I was a journeyman lineman for a number of years, then the leadership in the IBEW saw that I did have some leadership skills that could be useful. And so I've been working for IBEW Local 702 for the last 11 and a half years.
You know, there's a couple of items that I think when I pick through that, running a business, one, lumberyard, school board, seeing how the sausage is made. And that you know, I chose that term intentionally because, you know, not everybody knows the workings of a school board. And it's the ultimate balancing act, I think. And then you've got your union experience there. And then being out and understanding what the importance of infrastructure is.
Right.
How many times I've been speaking to a mayor in emergency situations going, well, at least the water's still on.
Right.
At least the electricity's still, right?
Sure.
You get a vision there. Because you find, it seems to me sometimes, and I don't know if this is the way you see it, but if you're doing the right thing, it seems everything that was behind you prepared you for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've just noticed this a bit because I'm getting old. That if I'm doing the right thing, then my experiences have prepared me to do the best possible job.
Sure. You know, you mentioned serving on the school board and the challenges that a school board might face. A lot of people who have never served on boards and different things like that don't realize the impact that those things have on their communities. There are a lot of big decisions made. There's millions of dollars that are spent through the Carterville school system.
A construction project, a human resources budget, a disciplinary problem.
Absolutely.
They're all there.
Those are big impacts on the local community, on Southern Illinois as a whole. And school districts are a big part of communities down here. There's no doubt about it. And so I think it's important to point out that serving on a school board is a big deal, and it can help prepare people to serve in a level at the state in Springfield even.
All right, so when you've got these years behind you where they've helped you be the person that you are, that you think you can help, from those direct experiences in your first 2 years, what would you hope to accomplish if you were elected state representative? What would be on your agenda, in particular how it would relate to district?
I think one of the biggest things I'm hearing from people is just the disgust in the differences between Democrats and Republicans, that they don't want to work together. They don't want to come together and find any solutions. They just want to fight amongst each other. And so one of the first things I'd like to try to accomplish is to build relationships of trust and a commitment to work together on either side of the aisle. That's one of the main things I would like to focus on.
You know, it's interesting because while I heard you talking, I was thinking about John F. Kennedy and talking about the Russians. We all have things in common. We love our children. We, you know, mm-hmm. And that speech where he did, and there's commonalities there.
Right.
I mean, does there anybody who really wants to be broke as a state? And you and I are both old enough to remember, you know, they've been the talk about tourism, right?
Right.
That you could drive down one of the many highways here in Southern Illinois and there'd be a rest stop, right?
Right.
And you know, little by little, you go to the parks and you see how they're threadbare because we didn't have the money to keep them up.
Right.
We've seen our home age through neglect.
Right.
I think. I mean, we've seen some luck, you know, getting some new schools built, you know, a new building, a new highway, Route 13. But in many places, you go to communities and you see what their goal is to get rid of the old because some of our towns are falling down around our ears.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Southern Illinois needs infrastructure. I talked to some of the mayors here in the district, the 117th, and some of the struggles that they face just on a daily basis of how are we going to get funding for a road repair, a sewer repair, different things like that. It's just disappointing to hear everybody in Southern Illinois talking about the struggles that they're faced with no real solutions on the horizon.
Yeah, a few years back, I had autographed off a autographed baseball from the St. Louis Cardinals. And I got the $500 I needed because the city of Tamaro didn't have enough tires to put on the vehicle to go read the water meters and the police vehicle. Sure. So when they were going to read the water meters, they put those on the truck.
Right.
And then when they're going to patrol, they took those off and put them on the patrol car. Imagine that in today's time that we'd have a town. Now, granted, this is a few years back where we'd have to do that.
Right.
You know, we live on some pretty thin margins.
Right.
I want to go down kind of a list of items that we're faced with here in Illinois. Some problems, some opportunities. But one is the budget itself.
Mm-hmm.
$2.7 billion we know now, and there's no reason to think that number's not going to grow, but we did have to explain that to Wall Street when we asked for this recent loan. You know, the governor's office said 1.7. Well, they were only a billion off,
right.
$2.7 billion. What do we do about continually having a budget that is not balanced and the effects it has on this state? How do we fix this?
Well, I think that's a huge question that's going to require a lot.
Jason's going, you know, if anybody knew the answer, you know, I'd be happy to tell you what that is. But, yeah,
sure.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to take away from the fact that I do believe there are some people in Springfield who are trying to work towards a solution. I don't think it's going to be an easy process. I'm not naive enough to believe that any one person's got the right answer to solve those problems. But I think it goes back to what I said before. I think we've got to come together as legislators, once I'm elected, and come together and try to work towards making solutions that will change the outcome of where we're at today. And, you know, I think one thing you mentioned a minute ago was just looking out for the people and the best interest of the people of Southern Illinois. I don't think the answer is always going to be, let's see what we can take away from people to make the state better. I think we've got to be able to provide things to the people of this state to make this state better.
Meet the expectations in a fiscally responsible fashion.
That's right.
Which is something we don't seem to be able to do. But we have a huge budget, but we have to service our debt, and on the list goes. I mean, we're not very good bookkeepers and managers of money, I think.
Right.
Which brings me to another item. Now, how long have you been an officer for the IBEW?
Yes.
How long have you been an officer?
Well, I've worked in the office now for 11 and a half years.
Right.
Right.
Did you, during the time when you were working, and still do work for the IBEW, did you work with pensions and managing pensions?
We do that on a daily basis. We're working with pensions.
And see, and that's when, because when you look at the pension liability, and I've talked to many people about this, when you've got a problem that is so big that it blots out the pension
right.
problem, then that's a mighty big problem.
Right.
But that's exactly what we did with the budget over the last couple, 3 years, right?
Sure.
And so with the budget kind of eclipsing this pension problem, because the pension debt, we're the poster child in the United States of America about pension debt, and we still don't seem to have a clear reason, a clear way, path forward constitutionally to
right.
deal with this.
Right.
And I was wondering if your experience dealing with and being responsible for that pension plan, whether you could take anything or ideas or ideology that you've gotten there and apply it to the possible solution here.
You know, I think there's a lot of things that I do on a daily basis with regards to negotiations and not just on pensions, but on all aspects of employment that I realize there's a responsibility not only by the employer to manage their business properly, but also on the employees to provide exactly what they've promised to their employer. And then also...
That is really interesting. You're the first person to ever say that. You're literally the first person to ever say that. You know, not only should we have a responsibility for the pension, but they have a responsibility to do the things they said that they would earn
absolutely.
The pension for.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, there's been a couple of... The one guy in particular, he was a substitute teacher for one day, and he sued to get a pension for the rest of his life for being a teacher. That's
wow.
the story I heard in the background of my mind when you said that, you know, because we seem to be lackadaisical that these pensions are, ways of purchasing people's loyalty rather than the, you know, as the responsibility, and they held up their end of the bargain.
Yeah. I mean, obviously pensions are set for further down in a person's life where they're closing out their career, and there's an expectation through negotiations and different things like that where the employees, they make trades or exchanges for pension enhancements, or maybe they reduce their pension in exchange for more wages or benefits, things like that.
We got a couple of coal miners that are going, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think the one thing that employers have a responsibility, and the state included, is to fulfill their obligations, the promises that they've made. And I think that's an important part of finding a solution to the problem.
We talked about statewide issues, and we talked about budget and pension debt, but your district in particular has desires, needs, wants, requirements. Man, I'd like to see somebody back in management at the Rend Lake Resort.
Sure.
Right? I mean, come on. Let's not be – we've got opportunity. Time is money in the literal sense here.
Yeah.
We're spending it. We're not making it. That's some of that fiscal irresponsibility, we'll call it, mismanagement. So what about your district? What is it that you'd like to accomplish, you see as a specific need in your district that you'd like to see addressed?
Well, I mean, there's so many things that need addressed, but I think more important than anything, I think it's a responsibility of the legislature to try to solve the current or existing problems that we have right now with our state. I think not only for the state as a whole, but I think specifically for District 117, I think it would be beneficial if we would continue to try to solve the problems that we currently have and not necessarily forget about the fact that we need to move forward. We have a responsibility to try to move this state forward, no doubt about it, but we also have that fiscal responsibility to try to get things in order, get our house in order, as people say.
So if we bring the state in order, Franklin County will improve just because a high tide raises all ships.
Well, that's what I believe. I believe we have to work together as a state. We can't just focus on the 117th or just one district at a time. I think we have to look at it as a state problem. And I think it all goes back to we have to try to work together with other people throughout the state. Let's face it, Chicago, a whole lot more people, a whole lot more power in my eyes.
Bigger tax base.
Yeah, and so we've got to figure out ways to get them to realize that, hey, you can't have this overweighted northern part of the state where the south is just constantly in constant turmoil and struggle. You know, we can't just continue down that path.
Because, you know, Franklin County is one of those that I watch very often when it comes to unemployment rates. I'm going, yikes, that's high.
Sure.
Especially when you look nationwide comparison, then you look statewide, you know. But when you look at some of our counties, it jobs. Well, at the same time, you know, recent job fairs have seemed to indicate that we have jobs now and nobody to take them. Or maybe nobody who wants to take them. I am not sure what word I should properly use there, because I don't know the answer yet. But, you know, I mean, I hear people anecdotally say, well, they don't pass the drug test. They can't show up for work. They don't, you know, they want to spend the day working on their cell phone while they're on Facebook. I mean, I hear these stuff, you know, from employers. But when you've got a big job fair like we recently had at the Marion Pavilion, where hundreds of jobs there and, you know, 60 people show up.
Right. I think
there's a disconnect there, isn't there?
Sure. Yes, there is. And I think one of the problems we're faced with is there's not a lot of good jobs available. And when I say good jobs, I'm saying jobs that pay a living wage, that have benefits, that can help provide health care and a 401k or a pension for people for their later years in life. And, you know, I'm not trying to take away from anybody's employment. I mean, anybody that has a job and wants to work for that employer and chooses to do so, you know, I wish them all the best. But at the same time, I can't make promises that if I'm elected that I will create jobs. But I will tell you that I will do everything in my power as a legislator to work hard, just like I do every single day, to try to provide good opportunities for working families.
And see, and that's, I think you're kind of like a poster child for this in many respects. If we fail in education, we fail in employment. Mm-hmm. Your education, I mean, I got a guy I met when I was in Jackson, Tennessee. He was an engineer at a radio station I was trying to fix. And we gave him an assignment. He says, no, can't see no electricity. I ain't doing that. And I thought, you know, well, we're in trouble here, guys. The guy, you know, doesn't want to work with electricity, and we're a radio station. See, you can't just go out and read a couple of manuals and think you're going to go out and be an IBEW and go out here at the top of a pole in a bucket for 6 hours and be able to fix that tangle that's just come that's through right. from the 70-mile-an-hour winds.
That's right.
I have a lot higher appreciation for what you guys do after the derecho.
Thank you.
A lot higher appreciation when things go wrong at home and I need help too.
Sure.
That what you've done, we need more people to do. The education that results in a paying job, that if in my experience, that's our failure right now. Mm-hmm. Go to John A. Logan College, get an IT certificate. Go get a phlebotomist, imagery from medicine. You don't have to do 6 years, but you do have to hold up your end, as you talked about, mm-hmm. to be able to make yourself valuable somewhere.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't even have to work for somebody else if you didn't want to. You just, you know, get your certification, get your license, professional licenses, you buy yourself a van, you get your tools in the back, and you're going to go to work.
Right.
You can with knowledge.
Right.
And I think that's... I think we failed in that lesson. I really do.
There's no doubt about it. Education is important. I mean, you know, I would encourage any parent, any young person to continue their opportunities in education any way that they can. But take for me for instance, you know, I was given a blessing. It wasn't something that necessarily that I earned or that anybody necessarily earns. Whenever they're given a blessing to have a career opportunity, it's an opportunity that they're given. And then they have to make that a good thing for their family and themselves, because they have to work hard, like I said, uphold their end of the bargain. And so I'd love to see more opportunities given to people in Southern Illinois like I was given, to be able to get into an apprenticeship program, to be able to become a journeyman lineman. You know, we've got many people in the trades who have been blessed with an opportunity to get into that trade and have made a successful, made that successful for them and their families.
So before I let you go today, you get a magic fix. You get the magic wand.
Okay.
You don't have to be infinitely practical here at this point on how you get it done. But the thing you want to get done, I find very often people get in a race that there's usually something in particular that drives them. So we've talked about the budget. We've talked about pension debt. But what's out there that you've seen that you find, you know, is the burr underneath your saddle, the stone in your shoe, that if you had a magic wand, you'd clear the decks and take care of that problem? What would it be?
Well, that's an interesting question, first of all. But I'd have to say that, you know, my focus is continually on working families. That's always my focus on a daily basis. As I go into this campaign and I talk to people,
Can I ask you this, Jason? What does a family need? What does a family need? You say, I want to help families. Okay, pick something that helps a family.
So I listen to a lot of families that talk about, the background of their family. Maybe one person used to be able to work in the workforce and they were able to provide for their families. And maybe it was the husband, and the husband lost his job or something like that, had to find another career opportunity. And then that did not provide the same income that they had before. So I hear that a spouse goes to work. And then the next thing you know, somebody's having to get a part-time job as well, just to be able to provide the income they need to buy groceries, put gas in the car, send their kids to school. And then maybe they're even trying to figure out their health care issues. Maybe they don't have health care through their employer, and they're buying it through the exchange, different things like that. People want to have a living wage. They want to have benefits that will provide health care and a pension for later in life. Those are the main things that most people are talking about they'd like to have.
Right. Better business.
Yeah.
So we have to make the business more attractive to, we have to make the state more attractive to business.
That's right. Yeah.
We haven't done a very good
job of that. And that's something that I think it's important to point out is that, you know, we need to do everything we can in Southern Illinois to try to provide small businesses and even large businesses with the best opportunity to be profitable, because profitable companies hire more people and pay better wages and benefits. That's just the reality of it.
I saw somebody arguing about tax reform on social media. Don't have to look long to see it.
Right.
And one of the comments was, when was the last time a poor guy gave you a job? I thought it was crude, but I also thought it was accurate.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, and sometimes that's the thing that catches our attention nowadays, yep. I guess, to stand out in the crowd.